So welcome everybody to All About Symbian Insight number 87. On the podcast today we have myself, Steve Litchfield, and
Faith Blanford.
Yep, and also in Scotland,
Ewan Spence.
There we are. It's the week after Nokia World. We didn't quite get through all the Nokia World 2009 news, but we're going to try and address that today. Starting off with the Ovi SDK, which sounds really boring, but we did see some video demos come out of Nokia World where people were building solutions on top of the building block components, things like the Ovi maps on the desktop and on the mobile. Rafe, is this boring? Where can Ovi SDK go?
No, this is very far from boring. In fact, because people like me coming off the fence, I'm actually going to say this was quite possibly the most exciting announcement Nokia made at Nokia World, certainly in the service arena, because it actually, we saw for the first time some of the vision of their Ovi strategy come to fruition in terms of access to third parties. So with all of these Nokia services like Maps or Sync or Calendar or Context or IM, they've thus far just been Nokia only, but at the very beginning Nokia promised that they would make these available to third parties, and this is effectively what the Ovi SDK is about. It's about making APIs that run on top of Nokia Maps, and in the future it will be things like Contacts and Calendar and even the sort of the messaging services available to third parties. So effectively this is kind of like a third parties mashing up with Nokia services to create new compelling content. At least that's the way Nokia would like to see it, and to a large extent that's true. So I think with Nokia World, what we've had is the announcement is effectively Nokia Maps available as an API, and this is all built on Nokia's web runtime technology. So effectively you've got the web runtime technology, and then on top of that you're going to have an API layer for addressing Nokia Maps. So it'll all be done using HTML cascading style sheets and JavaScript, except this time you're going to be able to address the map stuff that is running on the device. And as you say, we saw several demos, and this can range from relatively simple stuff like AP News were showing an application which would embed new images from news going on at the current time in the specific location where it was happening. So an alternative way of browsing news, but it can get more complicated. So for example, a transport authority was showing off an application that track in real time where all their transport vehicles were, so you could open up this application and zoom in on where you were, because of course it combines with the GPS, and immediately see the bus coming towards you on your map, so you'd be able to tell when it arrived. And of course in this particular case there were hundreds of icons moving around the map, and it looked absolutely fantastic, but really does have a real world usage. Instead of having to look up the screen at the bus stop, or indeed try and look it up on the mobile website, you just open this application, you see, yes, the bus is 300 meters away, it'll be here in 5 minutes, I'll be able to go and get my coffee. But what really stood out...
Of course, there'll be two or three coming along straight after it.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it doesn't solve that problem, especially in London. And
I'm also intrigued by the fact that if the bus is only 300 metres away, you've enough time to go in, queue, get a coffee, drink it, come out again, and still catch that bus.
Well, it was rush hour, and we are talking about a bus. They do move quite slowly. But OK, we'll say 3,000 metres to keep the Scotsman happy. And so that gives you an example of what you can do with it. And this is open to third-party developers. At the moment, it's in beta, but I have been able to have a look at the SDK. And actually, for me, this was the really interesting bit of it. Nokia have done a fantastic job putting together the developer tools. Nokia developer tools have a little bit of a checkered history, shall we say. If you look back into the origins of Carbide and CodeWarrior, they're not exactly the world's easiest to use development tools. I mean, things have improved dramatically over the last few years, but what this development tool does, it actually runs in the Firefox browser, and you can just open up your application, you can write it in whatever your preferred sort of web coding tool is. And of course Nokia provide various add-ons for web runtime for things like Aptana and Dreamweaver, but then the sort of emulator, if you like, runs completely within the web browser, and you can see your application, make changes instantly, update it, you'll see it running in the web browser. But what Nokia have done, which I think is particularly clever in this instance, they provided what they're calling scenes. And these are effectively templates which, for many of the common type of applications, for example, if you're doing an application that shows you where your local Beefeater, Travelodge, whatever service it happens to be. So a company that runs a restaurant chain can create their own application from their database of where things are, and people will be able to plot routes to it, because it includes the ability to do routing through the API and navigation. So, you know, effectively a custom version, if you like, of OviMaps with specific points of information for that hotel chain. It goes a lot further than that, because just as with Google Maps, you can overlay polygons, points of information, and information on top of the map, and that's where it gets really interesting. But these scenes I were talking about means literally you can put one of these applications together in a matter of hours. In fact, they demonstrated it on the stage at Nokia World, and both in a private briefing I had, whereby they were able to change the application and get it up and running in less than 5 minutes. And you know, as people who have developed for the platform will understand, that's incredibly impressive achievement. And of course, there's a certain amount of customization you can then do, but I went around the demo area and asked the people who had, you know, done the example applications how long it took them, and in general the answer was just a few days or a week. It was slightly different in some cases because the APIs and the SDK has been changing because it's been in beta, but what it means is you could realistically take your ordinary web team and get them to put together a widget for Nokia phones and have it, you know, ready to go in a matter of weeks, and then put it into the Ovi store and have it distributed to millions of people. So it's a really smooth process. You know, we've seen the impact that the APIs for Google Maps have, the kind of the mashups. I mean, I'm sure we've all used them. I mean, you and I suspect you have a favorite Google mashup, don't you?
I do, yes. It's one I've made up myself of all the stages at the Edinburgh Festival Fringe. Now, I talked about this briefly in my video diary, and it's not actually one I did myself. It was one that I contributed to with the teams that were working on another application for another handset to map where all these things were. Only valid 3 weeks of the year, though.
But, of course, what you can do with that is you've already got the data. Literally, you just have to plug it into effectively a configuration file which tells people where these venues are, and it can even download stuff off a server, so you could have it dynamically updating. And that's obviously how the live transport stuff works. It's just a simple JSON format that's built into the SDK, or you can do your own thing. And imagine being able to put that together in less than a week's time, then have that available in the Ovi store with a very rich experience, because it's not just a simple points of information where it is. You can click on the point of information, load information over the web or from a local database, and then plot your route to it from where you are now. So really rich experience. And quite frankly, I haven't seen anything quite like it. And of course, usually these kind of Google Maps mashups with, you know, overlaying tube lines or information are restricted to the web. But when you do this, actually, you can do it both for the web and, more importantly, I think, for the mobile device with just the one platform, and makes it, at least to my mind, incredibly slick. And so Ovi Maps at the moment just mapping, but we were told that, you know, context can will get introduced. I think Maps is actually the big one, because there's so much potential there. You know, we talk a lot about location, social location, and this is I think definitely going to, I hesitate to use the word make it mass market, but it'll certainly democratize it in terms of making it much, much easier to develop these kind of applications. And with a distribution channel in place for something like Ovi Store, yes, still has its problems. That's why it was almost my pick of Nokia World, because this is something that will last far beyond any of the current devices and even current versions of the platform. And this is an area which Nokia haven't got into before. And we've said often they're not going to do it on their own. They have to do it through cooperation in an ecosystem, alliance with content providers. And this is the thing that makes it much easier than it's ever been before to get your stuff running on the Nokia platform. So it's still in beta. Developers can apply to join the beta now. I believe it's forumnokia.com/Ovi. And they're accepting a limited number of betas, but it'll be fully available to everyone, I think, early next year. So definitely one to watch. Very exciting. And hopefully I've got that across in this long-winded bit of waffle.
The thing that intrigues me about this is the fact that the Ovi SDK is a subset of the main Forum Nokia SDK. It's hosted underneath Forum Nokia. So rather than create a brand new entity and another package to download and a huge mix of developers looking at going, what do I click on to get, it's literally, if you want this feature, you can add it into the SDK. And this is something that I would really like to see actually come over from the developer side, but also on the consumer side. This huge tidal wave of different versions of PC connectivity that you have in different Nokia products is crazy, and I'd love to see that modular approach brought over as well. So there is a PC suite foundation, and on that you put Ovi blocks or N-Gage blocks or N-Series or E-Series blocks. So there's logic there and in the SDK, and I think that's wonderful. I'm just hoping that can carry on with the rest of the stuff.
Yeah, no, it's funny you should say that, Ewan, because I agree, and you're absolutely right. By doing it as a subset, it makes it more approachable to a mass of developers. I think we'll even see it sort of promoted on the Ovi.com website itself. But by, sort of, as you say, doing a subset on top of web runtime, it makes it more accessible. As I say, all you really need is a web browser, Firefox or Internet Explorer, and it uses actually the Ovi Maps plugin that you'll have downloaded if you use maps.ovi.com. Plus, you know, your usual editing thing. You can actually basically just edit the sort of pre-built scenes or templates, you know, put in your own logo and your own sort of list of locations, and away you go, and you're ready to go. But it's funny you should mention PC Suite, because I think that links very nicely into another item which has just been updated again, which is Ovi Suite 2.0, which I know where Steve's had a bit of a look at. But essentially what Nokia are doing here is unifying their PC Suite experience into one single application. So we'll say goodbye to PC Suite, E-Series Suite, N-Series Suite, etc., etc., and just have the one. And as I understand it, this will be made relatively modular depending on the phone you get, and you'll also be able to add things into it over the air. And indeed, on something like the Nokia Booklet 3G, what Nokia are going to do, rather than pre-install Ovi Suite, they're going to have a link for you to download it, and you'll be able to choose some of the optional components at least. And, you know, clearly there'll be some core, but you're quite right, that will help clear up a lot of consumer confusion. So, Steve, what's the news on Ovi Suite 2.0?
Right, well, first of all, a disclaimer. I'm currently using a Mac as my main device. I haven't been brave enough to install Ovi Suite 2 on my wife's laptop. Ewan, I gave him the opportunity, and he's got a working PC Suite system, and he declined the chance to be a beta tester.
Quite right, my PC's stable.
I guess I'll have to do it, typically.
But there's loads of people out there who have done it, and so far I've only heard good things. Now, there are still a few minor rough edges, but I think Nokia really are onto something here in terms of producing a next-generation connectivity solution that will take them forward into the next 2 or 3 years. I'll just read out a few of the key features. This is the bullet points off the Nokia Beta Labs page. Move messages, contacts, photos, music and more between your computer and your Nokia device, and share your photos on Ovi. So it's Ovi integrated. It is also a complete set of viewers for your contacts and calendar within the Ovi suite. So you don't actually need to own a copy of Microsoft Outlook, for example, and you don't also have to access it via a web application. You can use the built-in Ovi suite viewers for your data, which I think is quite a neat idea, being a bit of an Outlook hater. So to keep your Nokia device and computer in sync, update your Nokia device with the latest software, so it's got the software updater built in. It's also integrates Map Loader and Nokia Photos. So, well, if I had a PC as my main device, I think I'll be beta testing this now, and I'm certainly at some point going to just rest the laptop off my wife and upgrade my account on there to Ovi Suite 2.0 and see how I get on with that as well, because it looks very promising, and surely on this is about third or fourth iteration for Nokia, surely they've got it right at last.
Yeah, because I used an earlier beta of this, and actually what this new beta has added is basically stability to the extent I think it's becoming more mainstream as a beta. For example, you can now install applications from the Ovi suite, which you couldn't do before, and so I was sort of having to copy things across. So I will look forward to getting this updated once I've sort of caught my breath after rather a busy follow-up to Nokia World. But yes, it's what's interesting to my mind is many of these functions have been available before, either hidden away within PC Suite or as add-on applications. And I think it's absolutely the right decision to simplify the UI, make it easier to use, and bring all the sort of separate applications into one. So it's just the one install and the one place you can find everything from. And it's interesting, PC Suite is moving away from so just basic file management and file install and maybe backup to becoming very much a sort of PC companion for handling any sort of data that goes back and forth between your computer and the phone. But it's interesting to see, of course, it still remains very strongly the fact that you can use any of these Nokia devices without having to resort to a PC at all, which does contrast to some of its competition. Yet they're getting near to the sort of level of functionality you can get with their competition. You know, things like iTunes have always been a big advantage, I feel, at least for Apple, because Nokia's lagged behind in the PC suite race. So in some ways, they're now going to have the best of both worlds. And yes, you can have everything standalone, but you'll have a pretty rich experience. And I say that advisory, because there is still room for improvement, for example, with music transfer, especially as, you know, we've just had the latest iTunes update to version 9, I believe, and there's more Genius stuff in there, and application and arrangement and all that kind of thing. But I'm glad to see Nokia taking a step in the right direction and getting, for at least 90% of people, I'd say, a PC suite or an Ovi suite that will do the job very well indeed.
Yeah, it's worth noting that Ovi Suite 2 is actually built on top of Nokia Qt, the Absolutely. Qt software. Over and over again, we're seeing stuff on the server, stuff on the desktop, and also on the mobile, all integrating this Qt code base so that the same application, the same module, the same services can run seamlessly across all three.
Absolutely, and you know, you're quite right, Qt is everywhere, and just yesterday, for example, they announced Qt 4.6, which is just interesting looking ahead. It's very much still in beta this, and it will be integrated into the platform in the future, as we said, but Qt 4.6, just as a random bit of extra information here, you always get the bonuses on the All About Symbian Insight, actually enables multi-touch for Qt 4.6. And that'll be relevant for the Symbian 4 platform, sort of early 2011, and also MIMO 6. Again, that will be probably autumn time 2010. The importance here being, of course, that it demonstrates the role that Qt and its importance to Nokia and its software platform strategy will be playing in the future.
One of the things to point out there, of course, is that iTunes has an almost one-to-one relationship with the iPhone and also the iPods as well, in which case you have one database going to one other database, both formats which are precisely known by the coder, in this case, Apple. Nokia doesn't have that comfort zone. The PC suite has to run on a million, billion, billion, zillion PC combinations. It might have to talk to Outlook. It might have to talk to some weird open office thing. It might want to use Windows address. Because it doesn't know what phone it's going to either. Yes, they're all Symbian. Yes, they're all S60, but they might be V3 or V5. But again, small problems there as well. And of course, into that mix as well, you have to throw in the online sync as well through SyncML, not just to the OV sync, but also to third-party things like Zybe and such like. So, and as you add that complexity of, you know, if you've got two items, that's one-to-one, that's great. If you've got 10 items and add in one more element, then you're actually adding in 10 more combinations. And it just becomes a much larger mess of synchronization. And certainly old hacks like myself and Steve, we're very wary of sync. And it's like, we back up before we... Steve, do you still back up before you sync?
I do, if I'm syncing to a computer or a service I've never synced to before. Definitely, definitely. I do two backups.
Yeah, so there's that kind of, not really, no. So Nokia actually have it much harder. But again, not an excuse for a consumer company. It's got to work. And that's what's so promising to see here, that they are starting to pull it all together. They are starting to make it look like a one-to-one relationship.
Okay, the next thing was announced. I'm not sure if it's actually at Nokia World or whether it was just soft launch around the same time. But Ovi Maps 3.3, for English only, mind you, and only for... S65th edition devices. Also, no satellite and terrain maps yet. This is very much in beta, and that there's the traffic updates are rather limited. But with all those caveats, the 3.3 is quite a major update. There's a whole new finger-friendly one-touch access to content and services, and a new and improved quote one-box search. Basically, what they've done is added extra front ends, added extra object-oriented things you might want to do at each point of the interface. So, for example, you want to navigate somewhere. It pops up three buttons saying, do you want to navigate home, navigate somewhere else, or do something else? So at each point, rather than having to go through the options menu or the pop-up dialogues, they've got the most common things people want to do, and you simply tap the one you want. And they've also integrated services, things like Lonely Planet. They're much more obvious. And I think that when the full version of 3.3 is released for all languages, for all countries, with all the extras like the terrain maps and traffic fully working, I think 3.3 is going to be the one to beat. And I've also noticed that on the N97, whose GPS hardware and software subsystem are rather substandard, if I put it kindly, the GPS fixes tend to be somewhat intermittent. I've noticed that Ovimaps 3.3 has some kind of GPS position caching, so it doesn't do the old GPS position has been lost over and over again. GPS position has been reacquired. every 5 minutes. So that's a thing of the past. And 3.3 actually uses intermittent GPS connections much more reliably. And the end result is it's very, very usable. I've been quite happy with 3.3 on the N97. The screen doesn't update because of this position caching. It doesn't update quite as fast as things like the old TomTom used to on my N70 about four years ago, which I guess is lack of progress. But I'm hoping, my gut feel is that the version 20 firmware for the N97 will include whole new subsystems for USB, GPS, Bluetooth, and in addition to fixing a lot of the other minor issues, will also fix GPS reliability. And at that point, OviMap 3.3, when released, will become a must download, however many megabytes of your CDisk it uses up.
Well, the interesting thing there, I guess, is if they do improve the GPS, and indeed on devices that are just fine, and I'd agree with you, I've had the odd issue with the N97. I found it much better on the E55 that I've been reading recently. But what that means, presumably, is OviMap 3 will cope much better in places where you do get intermittent connections, such as sort of canyons in urban areas where you've got skyscrapers or big buildings on either side of you.
Or Edinburgh,
yeah. And that, I always had a problem with that, using an old TomTom, that it would be absolutely fine when, you know, driving cross-country, but get into an urban area and it would suddenly fail and wasn't able to catch up. And indeed, early versions of Nokia Maps were very, very similar to that. So that's be interesting to see how that performs. I'll have to get that installed and going on my device. So good tip there, Steve. Thank you very much.
Okay. Also released in the last couple of days, there's a brand new version of what Nokia call social messaging, or social IM for Nokia messaging. And I, to be honest, Rafe, I am totally confused at this point. We've got Ovi Contacts and Ovi Chat and Nokia Messaging. We've got the old Nokia Messaging, which is also called Nokia Messaging, the same name as the new Nokia Messaging. We've now got social messaging and instant messaging. Rafe, is this all going to pan out in something simple, Rafe?
Yes, it is. I mean, what we've got at the moment is, you may remember a while back we talked about the Nokia Developer Summit and the sort of three phases of Nokia messaging, the first being email, the second being IM, and the third being social networking. And the idea is that any type of messaging you get will come into just the one application and be accessible from one place on your phone, and that will be Nokia messaging. However, as is typical with betas, some of these are sort of standalone. So what you've got in effect at the moment is actually Nokia messaging as we think about it, which is the email bit, and that's fine. But in order to run a beta of these things, they've actually done them as sort of standalone or separate applications, one of which is the instant messaging that you mentioned. I think that's running on the E75, the E63, and the E71. And that's taking a couple of, you know, we've already had the Ovi Contacts instant messaging solution, and now we're getting that into Nokia messaging. But in addition to just having the sort of the Jabber-based Ovi chat, you're now also getting Google Talk and Yahoo Messenger. And we'll also in due course see AIM and Microsoft added into that. And so that's effectively, you'll have an extra bit within Nokia messaging that's devoted to IM. And then the sort of the second beta that also got announced at Nokia World is the social messaging that you refer to. And this aims to unify all your social networks into a single application. So, you know, you'll be getting updates from Facebook, from MySpace, Bebo, whatever it happens to be. And presumably, I think Twitter will be one here in the future as well. And sort of having them unified into a single place on your phone, and it enables you to read what other people are saying and update your own status on these social networks. And as far as Nokia are concerned, these are all sort of fall under the category of messaging, be they instant messaging, social network messaging, or email messaging. And their vision is to have a single place where you can do that on your phone. And in the case of Nokia messaging, how they're selling it to the networks is they can offer unlimited email plus IM plus social networking messaging, which are the three big forms of instant messaging, for a fixed fee a month. And in the case of Orange in the UK, it's £5 a month. And that's just for email at the moment. But in the future, you'll also get IM and social networking messaging built into that. And it's all done from a client, so it's easier than having to go onto the mobile website of your social network, or, you know, get some kludge working for the instant messaging through a third-party application, some of which I say are very good, you know, thinking particularly of things like Nim and Nimbuzz and Fring. But obviously, if it works out of the box, that's so much the better. And presumably, it'll also work very much like Nokia messaging. You'll just have to enter one set of login credentials, and it will, you know, get everything from your Nokia messaging account and configure and set up everything for you. So this is quite exciting in some ways, because it's the future of Nokia messaging, which will do everything. But yes, I do agree, at the moment having all these beaters all over the place with different names does rather make for a confusing picture. But I would stress that at the moment that's because it's in beta, and in the future, you know, it'll effectively just be a single application, possibly a series of applications depending on what phone you have and how it's set up. But you'll have the Nokia messaging solution, which will bring all your messaging needs onto your phone. And as I say,
for a price, I think I heard you say there that there's going to be a monthly charge for these services.
That's right. I mean, this is how Nokia is monetizing Nokia messaging. It's doing deals with operators where it'll be bundled into your monthly contract. Now, in some cases, that will be you won't actually ever see that, because it's just included anyway. As I say, in the UK, Orange is charging £5 a month. The interesting thing is, if you're buying the device SIM-free, a lot of the messaging devices, like, for example, the E75 and the E55, have a device lifetime subscription to Nokia Messaging, so you'll get it if you buy it SIM-free, effectively.
Okay.
As I say, on certain networks, they will be charging, and clearly there's quite a lot of back-end to this kind of thing in terms of Nokia having effectively servers between these services and yourself. And doing that, they're also cutting down on the amount of data going back and forth, which are obviously good for both processor intensity and battery management. So that's why they're charged. It does have a cost, but it's a great way for Nokia to get its services on devices and to kind of split the revenue with operators, because as we know, there's a lot of tension for Nokia with its Ovi services between Nokia and operators. And so by letting operators charge for it, there's a joint revenue stream. And of course, operators are suddenly going, oh, actually, this is quite good, because we can have our service, whatever. And in the case of Orange, they're actually sort of co-branding it. So it's, I believe it's Orange Nokia Messaging. And I would imagine we'll see a lot more of that. And Nokia Messaging has really been the success story for Nokia's service strategy in terms of partnering with operators. They're up to 20 or so now, the most recent of which was, TIM in Italy. But they're, pretty much every country in Europe, all the big countries, have at least one operator partnering with Nokia. And I think in time we'll see that become more and more widespread. Whether it will ever reach the US, given the operator relationships there, I think that's perhaps more doubtful. But certainly Europe, Middle East and Asia, Nokia are getting very good traction with this. And, you know, £5 a month is nothing to be sneezed at. Even if the operator is getting 80% of it, say £4, and Nokia gets £1, you know, that's £12, what is effectively post-sale revenue. And that's the way of the future.
Yeah, okay. One more topic before we get on to a reader question or two. Nokia N97 owners have been walking something of a RAM and flash memory tightrope since its introduction. I put up a big optimization feature on All About Symbian last week, you may remember, which is good after keeping up to speed on the device if you've already got one. The version 2.0 upgrade is nearly upon us. The latest Clever Money says the second week in October. The main improvements, which I gather you saw at Nokia World on the N97 Mini, are more flash memory free, more RAM free, kinetic scrolling on all lists, new widgets, and better handling of music album art. And I'm sure there are a whole host of bug fixes as well.
Indeed, there are. I mean, I actually saw this running on the N97. Of course, being a month ahead of schedule, it was still a little unstable. And there were the front-end things you talk about, you know, the kinetic scrolling, including the actual application grid, and it all looked very nice. We've seen that on plenty of devices now. I think that's one of the things that significantly makes it easier to use, or it brings it more to the acceptable. That kinetic scrolling is almost seems to be a checkbox now. You have to have it on your device in order to be cool enough to sell, I say with a hint of irony. but also, it's things like Nokia Messaging will be the HTML version, and so all the Ovi services on the N97 will be bang up to date. One of the things I thought was most disappointing about the N97 is it was using the older version of things like Nokia Maps, as well as also the music application with, as you say, mentioned, the album art and things like that. And so it'll be bang up to date. There's an update for Ovi Store as well, which by the time it comes out would just about get to the point where Ovi Store will allow you to re-download applications you've already bought, at least on the same device, but that may be another month or so after October. So we're looking end of October for that, whereas we're expecting this update at the beginning of October. And it'll be interesting, as I say, running on both the Mini and the N97. And as you say, there's a whole lot of stuff in the back end, and they're rearranging the way things work. And it's not really possible to give specific sizes improvements on C, but the one I saw had about 50 megabytes free on the C drive. and the RAM looked like it was around the 60 megabyte or so mark, and that was with a few things running. As I say, these things do tend to change, but I would expect there to be significant improvements, not least because some of the applications at least will no longer be stored on the C drive. Yeah. They're optimizing that. And so I think there's always going to be a bit of a problem with the N97. I mean, it's notable that the N97 Mini has a bigger C drive altogether, which I think Nokia have learned their lesson there, but it will be a significant improvement. And I look forward to seeing it, but I don't want to get into specifics until it's actually available, because these things change as they add and remove stuff and take in and out debugging. But it's definitely a lot more stable as well in terms of the hardware optimization. So I expect we can probably see quite a significant speed improvement as well.
Presumably a lot of the bits and pieces like kinetic scrolling will make their way onto the other S65th edition touch devices. You wouldn't expect all the home screen widgets and some of the N97's unique software features to go everywhere, but the 5800, for example, the most popular and best-selling S65th edition device so far, it's currently on, is it V30 firmware, Rafe?
Something like that, and the thing that people are interested really is the kinetic scrolling and the sort of contact bar style widget that we get on every other S65th edition touch device. So, you know, things like the 5230, the 53, well, yeah, trying to remember all the names of those, but it wasn't clear when the 5800 would be upgraded, or indeed if it would be, but I think it's reasonable to assume that we will at least see an update to the 5800 at some point that adds the kinetic scrolling. Now, whether that includes an updated home screen as in the style of the contact bar and the little application for things like music and email is less clear. You've already got it for email if you update to the latest version of Nokia messaging, but I wasn't able to get a firm date out of Nokia as to when that would happen, but I would expect that to happen sometime in the next few months. And I know it's not an ideal answer, and I've been asked this one quite a bit, but I think with sort of 8 million or so 5800s out there, it's pretty reasonable that Nokia will be looking to do further firmware updates, and kinetic scrolling is one that's been asked for a lot, and they've now got the experience of doing it on devices like the 5230, the 5330, etc. And so it's pretty, I mean, I wouldn't say definitely, but yes, very likely at this point in time. Look towards the end of October, maybe.
Yeah, I guess there'll be at least a version 31, and I'd be very surprised if there wasn't a version 32 sometime in this early part of next year as well, rolling in last.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, with the popularity of this device, I'd expect it to go to the equivalent of version 40. Quite how that's labelled, I don't know, but they'll be wanting to update some of the Office service stuff on it as well, and have, you know, with 8 million devices out there, and, you know, the 5800 has got a lot of life left in it as well, despite the announcements of some of its younger brothers. You know, the navigation edition is a good example, so I'm sure they'll want to embed something like OviStore on there as well. So it seems very reasonable that there will be updates to come. Why hasn't it happened yet? They've probably been focusing on what they've got now, and as we said before, these things have a long lead time, and I think the only reason we're seeing the N97 version 2.0 sort of at the same time as the N97 Mini is because it's always been planned to have significant software updates throughout its lifetime, which is in contrast to the 5800, which follows the more traditional mold of updates when Nokia feel like it will get around to it. That's a bit unfair, of course, but there is a definite difference between those devices in terms of a software update strategy that Nokia have employed.
Yeah, but it's also interesting to see that Nokia are actually reacting to the popularity of the 5800 and possibly altering those plans to give it a little bit more regularity, given that it looks like this phone is going to be a test bed for the technology that's going to run in 5th edition for the next 12 to 18 months.
Absolutely. And, you know, it reminds me very much of what happened with the N95. You know, that got updated an awful lot, partly because there were so many up there, but partly because, as you say, it was something of a test bed. And so I expect we can, as I say, more to come on that. Sorry, we can't give you a concrete date, but, you know.
Well, we could give you a concrete date, but we'd be lying.
Yes, and we try to avoid doing that wherever possible.
Just got time for one reader question before we finish. From Germ... I'll just ignore... I won't read these silly usernames. Let's put a breakpoint in. I'll just give you... Right. One more reader question before we finish. Will the screen on the N97 Mini be the same unit as on the 5800, or a downsized N97 screen with better components? I think I can answer this one with a little hint from Rafe earlier on. The 5800 screen is just a vanilla TFT, no frills. The N97, although it looks similar, in actual fact, and looks a bit dimmer, in actual fact, it's a transflective TFT, which basically means that it's a slightly dimmer indoors, only slightly, but outdoors in sunlight, it's actually quite a lot better. It's not as good as things like the N95 and N96 because there's a resistive touch layer in the way, and that does have some impact. But the N97 is a whole lot better outdoors and in daily life. Now, the N97 Mini, my guess and Rafe's guess is that it's going to be made of the same components, the same spec as the N97, so it will be better outdoors and overall higher quality components. I think we've run out of time, guys, so we'll say goodbye for now, and we'll save everything else for insight number 88. It's goodbye from me, Steve Litchfield.
And goodbye from me, Rafe Blanford. And of course, Insight 88 will be podcast number 150. So we're going to have to think up something special. So, or maybe just stop Ewan from singing happy birthday.
There is nothing wrong with Martha and the Muffins. Although, speaking of music, actually, one thing I did want to point out, that comes with music and Nokia Music Store this week has proven a wonderful insight into the fact that the kids are using this and not the more mature people, because number two in the album charts this week in the UK is Vera Lynn and Vera Lynn's Greatest Hits. She's absolutely nowhere in the Nokia Music album charts. For some reason, some people called Jay-Z and Calvin Harris are in place of Vera Lynn. So, interesting change in the demographics there for the music store. I just thought that was interesting. Anyway, we shall meet again in podcast 150.
We'll meet again.
Don't know where.
Synchronized singing via Skype just does now not work.
I'm still not getting this. Is this a Vera Lynn song?
Yes, it's a Vera Lynn.
Oh, before
weren't
my
you
time.
Around in the 40s?
No, I wasn't, Steve.